Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every topic, everywhere. This is Believe. Let's
go. Hello, and welcome to the Hoosier Football Tailgate Signing Day Special. Thursday, December the 20th, big day throughout the country as this is the early signing period for all high school and transfer portal type of guys. And Coach Cignetti and his staff wrapped up a very big day for the Hoosiers, securing thus far, I would imagine, around 24. 31, can't remember off the top of my head, commitments for the day. I know that he did reference that there were approximately, five to seven others that were in bowl games that they were not going to announce until after their bowl game had been completed. Speculation on my part, those may be some James Madison guys that they're waiting to finish up their games here shortly. But before we get into that, I want to make sure that we give proper credit to where credit is due. Want to thank Bet Online for their sponsorship of the Hoosier Football Tailgate here in our first season with Believe. Just remember that Bet Online will not be taking any holiday breaks. They are going to be right there for you, whether it's on the desktop or on your mobile device, providing you all the up-to-date information that you may need for all your sports gambling issues that you have with wanting to place bets on certain days of the week. I even know that there's going to be an NFL game on Christmas Day, I believe, this year. But you've got the NFL, you've got the NCAA bowl season underway. You've also got the college football playoffs, all that information. And then just transition into ice hockey, NBA basketball, college basketball is in full swing. You name it, they've got about every opportunity for your sports wagering desires, up to the minute stats. You got your different lines for the games, parlays, overs and unders, game lines, you name it, they have it all, including any other news that may have a direct impact on the games that you are looking to wager on. Remember, with Bet Online, use the promo code BELEAVE, BLEAV, and get your 50% welcome bonus. Pretty good deal by Bet Online. Remember, that's BLEAV, promo code 50% welcome bonus. You'll get that. And again, to remind you, you can do this either on the desktop computer or your mobile device. Bet Online is where the game starts. And starting today, it was like I said, a very good day for the Hoosiers when you look at what Coach Cignetti and his staff have been able to do here over the last, 14 days or so, putting together not only his staff, but also keeping a good, healthy group of guys, student athletes that were previously offered by the previous staff, Coach Allen's staff. And I believe they kept about 15 of those young men, and then add to that what they were able to do in flipping some guys that were commits to James Madison, as well as jumping into the portal and picking up some key commitments there. One being getting back Donovan McCauley back into that wide receiver room, which I think was a huge get back from that portal. And also two of the big commitments that I think they got from the transfer portal. One, Curtis Rourke, the Ohio U quarterback. This cat threw for 8,000 yards in his career at OU, MAC Player of the Year this past year in 2022. And this cat has only done one thing, win. I think he's got a 10-win season and a 9-win season, leading them to bowl games. We'll talk a little bit, watch some video of him coming up shortly. And then they also got Trey. Oh, I can't think of the young man's name off the top of my head. Offensive lineman from Wisconsin. Big commitment from that standpoint. Adding some beef into the O-line room. The 300-plus pound kid that's got experience. And I think he's definitely got the Bob Bobstead pedigree. Bringing that into that offensive lineman room where they need some depth and they need some guys that can come in and play right away, but they need to add some size and strength to that room. But those are some of the big commits. And then of course the other one is getting Holland back, the running back who was in the portal as well. So those two guys coming back. Now, I know Coach Cignetti did reference today as well that there are some Indiana players that have that entered the portal that he has not welcomed back as of yet. And verdict's still out whether he will or not. Now, one of those was Jalen Lucas, who I think would be a good bring back, but I know they got to commit at the wide receiver spot, a little bigger kid who kind of will remind you of Jalen's abilities as a wide receiver, but he's a bigger. And so that may play a part into the reasoning why that is not coming. You know, he may not be back in the fray. And remember, Brendan Sorsby left and went to Cincinnati. So, got some nice commitments in the quarterback room, both transfer, we talked about Rourke, and then two incoming freshmen who've had storied careers in high school. We're going to talk about them in just a second. Coach Cignetti's press conference today, he is, pretty interesting press conference, I should say, in terms of his charismatic way of entertaining the room, or in this case, the Zoom meeting that was done this afternoon. The one thing he did point out is Tyler Cherry, the quarterback from Center Grove, the only four-star on that group of commitments, is going to be a mid-year enrollee. So he will be a part of the program moving forward once January hits. And that is a huge opportunity for that young man to come into a quarterback room that he'll have an opportunity from the get-go to compete, because that's one thing that Coach Cignetti did emphasize today, that nobody has been promised anything, including those that have transferred in to the program. Everything will be earned, and they're going to get a full baptism by fire, so to speak, when they get back from this Christmas holiday break and have the opportunity to get Coach Cignetti's expectations as they progress through the winter months. January and February will be very important, not only in the weight room, but also they'll give them a chance to evaluate competitiveness of their kids when they get them in the mornings to do some conditioning work where they will find out real quick who's in the boat and who is partially in the boat. And those guys that are partially in the boat, that's not going to fly with the staff. So interesting setups coming along also along the way. So we're going to get into that here in just a second. And we'll get a chance to evaluate all these commitments today. Do have some video on some of them, including a couple of the running backs that are in the fold. Some Wake Forest kids as well. You know, some video on those guys. It's Texas Tech, wide receiver from Texas Tech. So I do think they've got some impact players out of the portal. Now, when you look at the rankings for this class, remember, we're also including USC, UCLA, as well as Oregon and Washington into this mix. So now you're talking about 18 teams when you talk about evaluating from top to bottom. Penn State was number one. At this point, we had the number one rated class. And then surprisingly, Purdue, Coach Walters and his staff put in a top 10 class, I believe. Indiana, and being that this is Coach Cignetti's first class, is coming in towards the bottom around the 17th position, with Northwestern only being below them. I wouldn't get too caught up into all that at this point in time, being that this is Coach Cignetti's first signing class. The first year is always the toughest year because you're not only trying to recruit, but you're trying to put, you know, pieces together, get your families all moved and settled in Bloomington. Coach Cignetti said he has been burning the midnight oil, so to speak, so burning the candle at both ends, that his sleep has been very, I guess you could say, varies from night to night, saying that he had been putting in some hours up until 11, 12 o'clock at night there at the office, and also made mention today that he had damaged or blew out a tire on his rental or his donor vehicle, and that he may have dozed off, which I'm not sure that's what you really want to say at a press conference when you're talking about a car that's being loaned to you that's probably a $70,000-$80,000 car. But, you know, some ask, well, why is he in the office from 5:30 in the morning and talking about it and about how ladies work? And, well, those are the hours that coaches keep, especially when you're a new staff into a new building. You know, you got to look at it. He's evaluating kids on tape from this, not only the kids that are here, but he's evaluating tape on the kids that, of course, they recruited and bringing in. He's evaluating portal kids that may still be available. And as crazy as this sounds, they're also taking a hard look at the juniors. That are, and sophomores that are going to be coming up into the recruiting phase in this next 6 to 8 months. So there's a lot to be done and a lot to take, you know, take stock of in terms of what they need to do there, and also preparing for January and February, as well as what will take place with spring ball. Have not seen a start date for spring ball yet. I'm sure that'll soon be released. And also all the new guys that he's brought into his staff, I'm sure he's starting to coach them all up on what is expected and how he likes to do things, because that will be important. And having brought the majority of his staff from James Madison, that should be an easier transition in terms of teaching those new coaches what, you know, how he does things and what he expects to be done. So give me a couple seconds here. We're going to get the tape fired up and start taking a look at this new 2020. All right. Well, we're going to try to keep continuing on here. If it's not on, then we'll have to redo it. The world of technology, I tell you, man, it can be a little crazy at times. So hopefully everyone is on board with what we're trying to accomplish here today with this signing day special. Let me go over here to the list here on what we got here from the Hoosier .com. Those guys, like I said, did a great job today. Mason Williams was a big part of all that today. But anyway, Miles Gross was a top receiver for O'Rourke at Ohio U. As you can see, he had over almost 1,300 yards of receptions there, of yardage there, and 104 receptions. He was Rourke's number one target there. So a big pickup there. Big size kid, 6'1", 213 pounds. Decent speed, but a big pickup there to add some competition to the wide receiver room. Then you've got the Ellison kid, the running back from Wake Forest. I do believe, yep, I do have some video on him. So let's, you know, kind of watch some of this from that perspective. I think he's got a decent speed. He's a kind of a thick kid that I think will, again, earn you those hard yards in that regard. He had a really good game against Georgia Tech. As you can see there, 137 yards carrying against Georgia Tech this year. Good feet. I think he moves well side to side. Here's a good little jump cut in the hole where he found daylight and was able to get a first down, which I thought was a pretty good run. When you evaluate running backs, yeah, you're looking for the guys that can burn it and has got great speed, but you're also looking at guys that can make those cuts and then get vertical. And, you know, here's another good job of him getting to daylight and then getting vertical up the field and getting as many yards as he can. You don't want to see running backs that have a tendency to have happy feet and like to jump in and out of a hole too much. You want to see guys to make a cut, make that decision, and go. Here's kind of an inside zone premise where they didn't block right. Great move there. And then he gets another, you know, 10, 12 yards down the sideline on his own. But you can see he's a, you know, high motor guy that does well, gets in and out of the hole very quickly. Here's, he does a great job on this run. You can see, you know, decent size when he cuts the ball back and things of that magnitude. He does maintain his speed. Again, out of the backfield, catching the football. Again, just, you know, some good promise there with him adding to that running back room. And I think getting Trent back in the fold there was going to be a big help for Indiana when it comes to competition in that room with Holland coming back into the fray. That was a nice re-enter into the Hoosiers program there when that was announced. But Ellis going to be a good player, rushed for over 1,900 yards, 15 touchdowns, 43 games. So you can see, again, good, solid performance there at Wake. Then you've got the defensive lineman coming in from James Madison, Kamara. Again, good solid statistics there. Kind of an edge. I would imagine he's more of an edge guy in that regard. Here's the running back that came back, Tyson Lawton. Big size back, 2,600 yards. I mean, he has a lot of experience coming in from where he came. You know, James Madison, they flipped him back to Indiana. I do believe he played at Stony Brook for a while as well. Miles Price, wide receiver, another good guy to have in the wide receiver room. 1,700 yards, 12 total touchdowns of him. He's a guy, again, that I think can, you know, get vertical, get some of those contested balls. He had a 410 yards of receptions this year at Texas Tech, which loved to throw the football a lot. So, again, there's another good one. And then here we got Curtis Rourke from Ohio. I talked about him last week, threw for over 7,000 yards and he is a really good quarterback. Throw some of his highlights up here from his time at OU. Coach Cignetti said today, what does he look for in the portal? He looks for those guys that played. He looks for those guys that, you know, were first or second team guys that got on the field and made plays. Curtis is a guy that's played a lot of football, and he says he knows how to play quarterback. And I think that means to me he's a guy with a lot of experience. And you can see in some of his throws that he makes, good, solid fundamentals, especially in the pocket. You know, he doesn't have happy feet. Here's where he drops a dime against Eastern Michigan. You know, he's just one of those guys that's been a winner at OU. They had a 10-year win season this year. I think 9 wins last year. He's led them to bowl games. But more importantly, he is a winner. Again, now he's not a guy that's going to get, you know, be a running type of quarterback. He's more the play action type there. He stood in the pocket and made a nice throw there. I think with what James Madison did and what Ohio U did, there was some similarities there offensive philosophy wise. They liked what he had to show in terms of what he brought to the table. But again, he's just one of those guys that is a winner. And, you know, Ohio U used him in different ways. You can see there was some trickeration. Again, I like the fact here's a, you know, this time here he turns a drop back in a quarterback draw. And that's just smart football. You know, can run the option. But that wasn't his main throw. Just these throws that this kid makes are, and sometimes your jaw just drops. Here's another one he puts on the money. And I've watched him for 2 or 3 years when they've been on Mac Asians, like on Tuesday nights. And you just like his mannerisms, his kind of grace under pressure and way he does things as a quarterback and as a leader, and how he throws the football with some precision and accuracy. And that's the one thing that stuck out to me, is that he's, for his career, he completed like, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood of 68% of his passes. He was the 2002 MAC Offensive Player of the Year. So I think this was a great get for Coach Cignetti and Tino in that offensive group, Coach Shanahan, what they'll be able to do with this kid's abilities. But like Coach Cignetti said, the one thing is he knows how to play quarterback, and that to him stood out. Now, in that quarterback room is going to be great competition because you got Rourke coming. You got two freshmen coming in Mendoza and Tyler Cherry, who was the only 4-star recruit. And, of course, you got Taven Jackson in that room as well as Brock Lowry. Now, Coach Cignetti did say that Cherry is going to be a mid-year enrollee. So, in that regard, you're going to have a lot of competition this spring in that room. And Curtis will just be a part of it. Now, like Coach Cignetti said, nothing was promised. Nothing is a given. He's got to come to Indiana, walk into a quarterback room with some other talented kids and go compete for the number one spot. And everybody's on the same plane. So I thought this was a huge get for Coach Cignetti. And then the other big get, those offensive linemen, which I think Coach Bopstead helped out quite a bit with, Trey Wiedig. This cat is a big fella, 6'7", 315 pounds. IU did lose two of their guys in the portal, one to Colorado, one to Oregon. But getting this kid to come in, I'm sure Coach Bopstead was pleased to get him, as was Coach Cignetti, because they're getting a really good offensive lineman. And Coach Bopstead, being familiar with Trey, that had a big part of it. So big get there. I thought Rourke and Trey were the two top gets from the portal outside of Donovan, because of what they needed to bring in. And I do think they still need to bring in a couple more offensive linemen in what's remaining out there. We'll see what happens. Keyshawn Williams, wide receiver from Wake, got some video on him. We'll just throw up here quickly. Again, add into the convert, you know, a guy that's going to add to the wide receiver.
And Winston-Salem as well, as Keyshawn Williams makes this catch.
Receiver for Wake. And, you know, they were a spread and throw it all over the place type of guy. But I like his quicks. You know, he's got good vertical speed, I think. And then, of course, I think he's quick sideline to sideline. So another nice pickup for the room. Of course, Jayshon being in the portal, I think this is a good replacement. I think he's a little bit bigger. Again, this is against Liberty, who was a very good defense this year. And this cat went up and down the field on him, made it some, you know, there's a great contested throw on a 50-50 ball and double coverage. He went up and got it. You know, this game had 129 yards. But I thought this was another nice get and another guy that you add to that competition in the room. I think just makes that wide receiver room any much better. As it pertains to what IU's got coming, you know, back and who they've got already in that room with, you know, Williams, Donovan back. Now you add Keyshawn, you got the kid from Tech. So pretty good tight end room. This is a one young pup that I like that they kept, this Cozen kid from Wisconsin, tight end. I think he's got a great future in front of him. Whether or not he becomes a factor this year will be yet to be seen. But he's a big kid, 6'6", 225, so he's a little light in the weight department. But he comes in there, and they add 30 pounds to that cat, 40 pounds to that cat, and he stays at tight end. He'll be a big-time wide receiver for him, or, you know, blocking and catching tight end. Henderson, another young pup out of North Carolina. He's one guy that they did flip from James Madison, DB. Again, they really liked his ability on film. Quentin Clark, again, was a kid that Indiana had already offered out of Georgia. Again, another linebacker, you know, type of kid, 6'3", 195 pounds. You know, this cat can run a little bit, and I like the way he played on tape watching him. Evan Lawrence, he's a kid, a local kid out of Danville, offensive lineman. Good offensive line program there, from a high school program that has, you know, turned out some, you know, offensive linemen over the years. You know, he had the MAC schools and some of the 1AA type of schools, but he was one that they kept into the fold that had committed before. Again, 6'7", 250. You add another 30, 40 pounds of that cat, he's going to be a good one down the road. Alberto Mendoza, here's a kid out of Christopher Columbus. I've watched film on him. Again, he's 6'2", 190 pounds, good, solid, thick kid, good fundamentals. Not a what I would call a dual threat quarterback. I'd say he's more of a pocket quarterback, kind of like Rourke is in that regard. Led his team to two state championships down there in Florida, which is not easy. Christopher Columbus is a great little high school there in Miami. They've turned out some pretty good ball players. I look for Alberto. He'll come in and compete now. I think he's a kid that's got that mindset that even though he's a freshman, he don't care. He's going to come in interim compete. Now, he will not be a mid-year enrollee. And for that point, from that standpoint, he's got, you know, be a little bit behind the eight ball when he comes in terms of his development in the offense. But this kid's got a good solid head on his shoulder, threw for over 2,000 yards this year, 22 touchdowns, and really high percentage. Speedway kid, Agenian, was a recruit that they kept in the program, committed to the Hoosiers. Again, offensive lineman, 6'5", 270. Big solid kid, looks really good on tape. Really good on tape, strong, and moves his feet really well. So I think this is a good pickup in the offensive line category. Mario Landino, kid out of Pennsylvania that was committed to James Madison, 6'4", 250, good length, defensive end type off the edge. This kid's a good lanky kid, moves really well, athletic. I think he's going to be a player at Indiana. I just think from his background and everything there, James Madison may have stolen one out of Pennsylvania. But this cat, I think, is going to be a really good player, and wouldn't be a bit surprised if he's not within the, you know, 2 to 3 deep there, even as a true freshman. So really good. Becker, wide receiver, good solid kid, 6'3", good frame, lanky, you know, good guy on the outside, can go up and get contested balls out of Nashville. They kept him. Indiana, Tom Allen's in, you know, being the head coach, that was an early offer. They retained him in the pool. Solid kid. Doubt if he'll be one guy that will contend for playing time as a first year, but who knows, depending on where they shake out after this spring, we'll see. But good lengthy kid, 200 pounds, can run, and he can make contested catches. That's the one thing. Jaja Boyd, again, this is a cat out of Pennsylvania, Roman Catholic. This is another James Madison flip for Coach Sig and the staff. I'm sure Coach Haynes loves this guy. 5'10", 170 pound size corner. Watched some tape, not over a lot. So I wouldn't be able to speak one way or the other on him. But what have I saw of him is he's got the ability to be, I think, a shutdown corner. And he's a cat that could probably come in and be in the mix in the competitional aspect of it. William from Moline, again, he's a defensive end, 6'6", 225, little lanky, light in terms of weight right now, good developmental kid. He decommitted from Georgia Tech, and Indiana was able to get up on him and get him committed. 4'6", 4'7", type of kid. So this is a guy to watch for future, because I think he's another one you add 40, 50 pounds to, and he's going to be a big-time kid coming off the edge. Let's see. Mitch is from up there in Wisconsin again. Another Bobstead, probably utilizing his connections out there to get this cat. 6'5", 270, good solid kid, good feet, strong on the upper body. He's a guy that can add some depth to one of the areas that Indiana really lacks depth in, is that offensive line. Hopefully you don't have to play a true freshman. Now, if he comes in and beats everybody out and he's one of your top four or five guys, then so be it. But again, a room in much need of not only depth, but competition. And that's the one thing. Martin, running back from Fishers. Now, this kid's the one kid, 5'11", 195 pounds, 200. He can go get it. I think he's got that top end breakaway speed. He gets downhill in a hurry, and he can take a 5-yard run and turn it into a 60-yard touchdown because he's got that ability. So I really like this kid. He's a holdover again from the previous staff. Austin out of Wisconsin, again, another offensive lineman from Wisconsin. Those kids are growing big up there in Wisconsin. 6'6", 265 pounds. Again, a room that needs a lot of competition. It just got, better in that regard. So I think it's one of those situations where Bobstead had some kids up there in the Wisconsin area that he really liked and were able to get him in the hopper. Daniel, another defensive end, 6'3", 220 out of Georgia. He's another kid that I liked on tape. Physical, has some speed, very hard to contain one-on-one in a pass rush situation. So keep an eye on Daniel. Tyler Cherry, well, here's the young man out of Center Grove here in Indiana. He was once a commit to Duke. And with the changeover in staff down there at Duke, Indiana was able to get back in on him. He's their only 4-star commit in this class. Now, one thing about Tyler and Center Grove, their offense isn't your traditional offense because they do some wing T stuff. But this kid is got I call it got it. Really good arm. Good touch. Throwing the ball down the field. Here's another long ball that he throws. But delivery, his footwork, here's a good look of him taking off. And then look at that throw. I mean, that's a Patrick Mahomes type of throw. But this cat can be special. And you can see why Duke recruited him. Smart, good grades, and on top of it can sling it. But you can see his footwork in the pocket. He's very calm and composed, and he finds guys open down the field. He doesn't get overly excited. Again, he is not a dual threat type of quarterback. I'm not saying he can't run the football, but he's a more prolific drop back, throw it, and has the mobility to make some things happen out on the edge. Now, he's made some throws here that I would advise against at the college level because those will get picked. But got to work on a little bit of the ball security. Ball when he runs has a tendency to be out there quite a bit. But he threw for a bunch of yards, and he has been, highly sought after last year into this year. And understand, he was a teammate of Taven's. Taven would have been his senior year. Tyler would have been a freshman or sophomore. I can't remember. But Center Grove's had some really good football teams, but more importantly, they've turned out some really good quarterbacks over the years. And Tyler's another one of them that's going to be a special player for Indiana. And again, he will be a mid-year enrollee, which is good because he's going to get himself right into the fray, into that room, through for over 3,000 yards, 34 touchdowns in 13 games. And he was Mr. Football in the state of Indiana. And I know Indiana beat out a couple other big time programs to keep him in. And Tyler liked what he saw. And I think he's got a pretty good relationship with Tino. And I think that was proven by the fact that they got to keep him in-house. And then lastly, Josh, another corner, 5'10", 190 out of the good state of Florida, Palm Beach Garden High School, Cardinal Newman, which is another solid high school for big-time players. He also was a sprint champ in track, played some wide receiver as well, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, played wide out, but I do think they're going to look at him more being a DB corner type that will add some competition back into that room. for Indiana. So overall, a really solid class. Not that it's ranking very high within the Big Ten, and I know that's all subjective, beauty in the eye of the beholder, but for Coach Cignetti coming in for his first class, being behind the eight ball a little bit, he was able to bring some guys along from JMU, not only the transfers that came, but also as well as some high school kids. He got an established quarterback in Rourke from Ohio U. And, you know, when he talked about the transfer portal and what he looked for, and I agree with this wholeheartedly, you don't go in the portal to look for a guy that was, let's say, at Alabama, and, you know, he never got on the field because he had so-and-so and so-and-so in front of him. Well, you don't want to take a chance on a guy like that unless you have some type of connection or you knew of him in recruiting. He wanted guys that had been on the field playing and they could, you know, they had a body of work to present to whoever was recruiting them to be truly evaluated. And that's who Coach Zig and his staff went for in the portal. And they got some really good ball players, I think, that are going to add to the position rooms that needed the depth added, as well as competition. Remember, competition is the ingredient that makes you a good football team. When you don't have the competition to get guys competing year in and year out in a position room, you get complacency. And you can't have complacency out of your players. You got to have guys locked and loaded and playing like every day their job is up for grabs because, you know, the number two guy is breathing down your neck and he's no slouch. But that's what I think they were able to do with this class in a big way. So kudos to the staff, Coach Sig, and for what they were able to do in a short period of time. And, you know, now that this is over, it doesn't mean that recruiting stops for them. Like you said, they've got about, they're looking for, I think, four or five, maybe a little bit more to add to this class. And like I said, I think he said there were six or seven that were playing in bowls. And I kind of summarized that, meaning James Madison, but that doesn't make that statement true. That's just me hypothetically thinking about it. And, you know, I think they've got, they're going to have somewhere in the neighborhood of about 30 to 31 signed, you know, first years and transfers in this first class. And they stood at this afternoon, I think they were at 24 already. So a big class to put together. I know 15 of them were retained from the previous staff in terms of those recruits. And then they did inform some kids that they weren't going to have spots for them. I hate to see that happen, but it is what it is. And Coach Cignetti and his crew went out and got it done and in a short period of time. But the quarterback room, I think, is going to be very strong in the spring. You've got Taven and Lowry, who are the two guys remaining. Sorsby, remember, he went in the portal, and he is at Cincinnati. So those are the two guys that are in the quarterback room. Taven's the only one that has a lot of true experience this past year, but it's going to be a situation where he's going to have to go compete against some talented guys that are coming in. Two of them, Rourke, and then, of course, a kid that was a teammate of his, Tyler Cherry, who's a mid-year enrollee. That's going to be an interesting competition this spring to keep an eye on to see how things develop. I know there was some chatter that Taven, if things didn't pan out, would transfer. Well, if he does, he'll have to sit a year. So I'm not sure it's advantageous for him to do that because then he essentially loses a year of playing and plus eligibility. So that may not be the best thing for him unless he transfers down, I believe, then he can be immediately eligible, you know, like to, you know, Illinois State or North Dakota State or one of those type of schools. But they got competition in the room that I like, and I like this Rourke kid. I think he's got something to him, and hopefully he can bring some of that with him from Ohio, and he's got his main target coming with him, too, in the wide receiver room. plus keeping Donovan in that room, what that kid did this year when he went in the portal, kind of heart, you kind of sunk a little bit because you thought, where's the cat that didn't have anything at the beginning of the year, but really came into himself. So them keeping him, I think, is a good sign of things to come. The running back room, I think, is going to be loaded room. Great competition, especially getting Holland back into the fray. Again, went into the transfer portal, liked what Coach Sig and his staff were doing and what, you know, what they had to say. They got him back. And remember, Coach Sig had about $3 million in NIL money as well to utilize with not only some of the kids that potentially are coming in, like a Tyler Cherry, for instance, but also the guys that were here. And I'm sure he utilized those dollars wisely in that regard. Wide receiver room, it's really, I think, really going to be a great competition room. We talked about those guys that are coming in, you know, Price and some other guys that are on their way in from different sizes, different, you know, contributions that they can provide at different spots. I think they got guys that can go up and play, get, you know, contested footballs down the field. I think they got guys that are fast that can, you know, challenge teams vertically. And then I think they got guys that are shifty that and quick that can do things with, you know, with the ball in their hands very quickly. So that's going to be positive as well. What's next for Coach Sig and his staff as they move forward? Well, they're going to continue to work with some of these recruits until they get what they, you know, have out there fully committed. Good time for them to break and take a breath as a staff before, you know, the kids are break, you know, that are off campus. And I believe now you run into a dead period at this point in time. Chance to recharge the batteries. Because when they come back in January, baby, it's going to be full speed ahead. There is not going to be any time to take off. No days off when they come back. They'll meet as a group. He'll lay out his plan of expectations moving forward in January. He did talk very adamantly about his strength coach and what he brings to the table. And how that all plays its part into these equations moving forward. January and February will be heavily in the weight room and conditioning. This will be a time for them to just find out who's in the boat and who's not, or who needs to have a talking to about either you're either both feet in the boat, but having one foot on in the boat and one outside of it. That ain't going to work. And that's what January and February will be for, because all eyes will be on the kids that are on campus. They're going to be evaluated every single day and every way, from classroom attendance to academics to what they do in the weight room when the eyes aren't on them by the coaching staff and just the strength staffs there. And then the conditioning, which I would imagine Coach Signetti will probably do in the morning. Being that he has a little bit of throwback to him. I remember those days at 6 o'clock in the morning as a coach, bright and early, going in and getting after it for a good hour or so. But that's where you grow as a team and you find out who's going to compete, who's going to compete only when eyes are on them, and who's got to be discussed in terms of whether you want to be a part of it or you must take a look at other opportunities because you're not going to make it. And January and February would be full of that. And then, of course, spring ball, I'm sure the dates of that will be released relatively soon because spring ball, you know, is within the next 90 days, I would imagine. So a lot of fun things to think about, talk about, digest, evaluate, all those good things. I will keep you abreast of everything that I can come about and, you know, gather from my contacts down at Indiana, as well as those in the outskirts, finding out what is occurring and, you know, going on pigs.com, Hoosier.com. Those guys do a great job as well. Just a note and reminder for those that are in the Fort Wayne area, tomorrow and Friday, I will be on the Sports Rush from 4 to 6, subbing in for Brett Rump. We'll have a lot of discussion about Indiana football, talk a little bit about Purdue. They had a pretty good class put together. I think they were top 10 in the class evaluations in the Big Ten, top 10 class for Coach Walters. We'll talk a little bit of IU basketball. Them getting by, just getting by Moorhead. But tune in 4 to 6 right here in the Fort Wayne area, 1380 The Fan, 100.9 FM. You can also hear that online if you've got the TuneIn app. Also, tomorrow I will be on Jim Cole in the Indiana Sports Beat Radio. You can catch me there on his show that goes on YouTube as well as throughout the state of Indiana. I'm sure we'll talk about Coach Zig and his press conference, as well as some of this that we just digest tonight. Again, thanks to Bet Online for sponsoring this Hoosier football tailgate. Much appreciated. Remember, use that code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, to receive your 50% welcome bonus. Have a great and safe, happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. A lot of things on the docket as we turn to the page on to 2024, and what will the Hoosiers be as a football program as Coach Cignetti gets both of his feet on the ground running now and his staff. Stay tuned to the Hoosier Football Tailgate. We'll keep you up to date. I'm the coach, Shannon Griffith. This has been the Hoosier Football Tailgate on Believe. Good night, everybody.